I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is WCCO Radio, live outdoors with Mike Max and Ron Shera.
Live outdoors is on the air. The time is 7:09:50. Travis Frank, who we have not seen for some time, graces our presence tonight. Thrilled to have him with us. Travis, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I only come out for special occasions, and it's a fishing opener, so here I am.
How was your fishing opener?
Oh, my gosh, it was good. It was. I went out on Lake Minnetonka here, and I feel like that lake just gets better every year. And we caught, probably caught 40 walleyes.
Really?
Maybe 60, 70 bass. Yep. Caught a lot of fish. Went out with my dad and a couple of other buddies and met up with some other friends. We split up and fished different lakes, and we all came together and had a nice little walleye.
Why was it so good?
Why? Well, that lake just in general is getting better every year because there's a local that lives out there. He started the West Tonka Walleye Club, and he started raising money to buy walleyes to stock in the lake. And what that's done is it's basically doubled what the DNR has been putting in to that lake. So there's just more fish in the lake. And this time of the year is probably the best time to fish them in that lake. Because once summer comes, they can be a little tough. But right now, there's a lot of fish in the shallows, which applies to basically every walleye lake in Minnesota right now.
Well, let's bring into the conversation another fisher person. Laura Sherrill, how are you tonight?
I am fabulous. How are you?
Good. We're just waiting on your father's call and leave it to him to be late for his own little surprise party, right?
Of course, fashionably late.
Now, normally, at least I've talked to you before, you do not go on the opener because it's Mother's Day weekend as well.
That's true. You know, my mom has horrendous allergies to mold and musty things, and so she actually can't even go up to the cabins where they stay in. I do not have it in my heart to leave my mom alone on Mother's Day weekend, so I stick around with her. But I was actually fishing today up in the North Shore for steelhead trout. So
really? And how did it go?
You know, we caught just a couple. It was a little bit of a slow day on the water. It happened to be 80-some degrees up there, so the fish got quite slow. But
I hope you had sunscreen on.
Oh, I did. Absolutely. It's always the first thing I do when I go outdoors. But we were on the Baptism River, and I have to tell you, if you've not even, there's a great hiking trail along that river, but if you have not seen that place, it is beautiful.
Laura, were you in the water? Were you standing in waders in the water, and were you able to see the fish swimming past you?
Yes, so that was really cool. With your polarized glasses on, you could definitely see the fish hanging out in, you know, by rocks and where they were rolling and spawning and doing all those things. So it was really fun to see the fish. And again, we just caught a couple, which is still fun. You know, even being out there fly fishing, I mean, the bubbling sound of the bubbling brook and just the motion of fly fishing. And
I hear a script right there.
I know. It really is amazing. It's really quite relaxing. So I honestly didn't care if I caught a fish or not.
Well, that's been your dad's theory his whole life.
Sound just
exactly.
Like your dad.
Ron Shera, are you there?
You know, the last time I went walleye fishing, I quadrupled what you've ever caught in a lifetime. So there you go.
I told him at the beginning of the show, he said, you can't come in studio till you catch a walleye. And last time we saw you, it was Friday.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been busy reeling them in. That's what you do. Went to, I talked to you Sunday morning. It was an awesome opener, and, I mean, really awesome, one of the best I can remember, and I've heard all around the state. Maybe wasn't awesome everywhere, but pretty good, depending on where you went on Leech Lake, for example. If you went the wrong place, you didn't do well, but that's true anywhere. And talked to some guys at on Winnebagoche, and they caught 40 walleyes and could only keep two based on the rules, regulations. then I went Monday, went up to Upper Red, and that's about like fishing trout in the sports show pond with the worms. It's beyond comprehension, Maxie. How many walleye?
You saying I could even catch one there?
No, I wouldn't go so far as that.
Well, Ron, I got to interrupt you because you didn't know this, but we've got a surprise guest on, your daughter Laura, who was up fishing on the North Shore today. And one of the reasons we brought her on, paramount to it, is she is taking your place as one of the hosts on Minnesota Bound. And more importantly, though, it's just you guys have worked together for a long time. Laura, what was it like when your dad said, okay, I'm passing the rod and reel on to you?
Oh, my goodness. Hi, Dad, by the way. Surprise.
Hi, Plunkett. Sorry.
We just talked on the phone about an hour ago. What was my reaction? It's bittersweet for myself and, of course, my family. Just with my dad, it is his legacy and his show, and he's the one who obviously founded it and was the reason it was so successful. And I'm also honored that not only my father, but the production company would allow me to take the place of hosting, and it's going to be a team effort going forward, and I'm really excited to make sure that we continue to share those outdoor adventures, but also make my dad proud. So I'm very excited.
Very well put. Ron, as you have brought Laura up, obviously you introduced her to the outdoors and the media. What's that been like for a father to watch his daughter evolve?
Well, it's kind of beyond words. It's been very gratifying. You never want to tell your kid what to do because they're their own individual, etc. So Laura followed in my footsteps, so to speak, at her own choosing. And so when it was time for me to say goodbye, that was the one thing that made the pain easier to take, because it was emotional for me, but what made it more palatable, very palatable, was the fact that my own daughter would be succeeding me alongside Bill Shirk. And so that's gratifying, very gratifying. And I have no doubt Laura's a natural TV talent, and Bill is too. I have no doubt they'll do well and carry on. And I'm not going away, as I keep telling people. I'm supposed to kind of look over their shoulders, make sure their story selection hits our Minnesota Bound mantra, and I'm going to keep doing some stories, doing some specials, so I'll be around, but I can fish now more and hopefully provide some meals for you and your family.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, you fish more. I mean, catch one now. That's what I thought you were going to say.
I'm going to provide you and your family so you won't be starving to death as winter, and I'll give you some fish.
As long as I've got that right tire, I got a chance to get some good game, as I've shown you. Laura, when do you remember enjoying the outdoors? You know, you're little, you go out with your father, and you may or may not get it right away. It might be cold. When do you remember saying, I really enjoy this?
You know, I get asked the question of that a lot, and I always go back to a time in our backyard where my dad did one thing right, and he really taught both my sister and I to learn how to cast and how to cast accurately. But he did it by just kind of putting together a little game where he would place hula hoops in the backyard, and we would have to cast into the hula hoops. And we were having a lot of fun with that, where we would, you know, constantly be out there casting away. And then my dad at the time was really into trick casting, so he would have my sister and I kind of be his assistants in that. And so that's really where we started getting interest. And when you have accurate casting skills, it does make your, obviously, fishing a little bit more successful, specifically if you're fishing for bass, which is one of my favorites. And that, I think, made a big difference for myself, is having success out in the boat. Another thing is, he always allowed my sister and I to tell him when we had enough. And that was
so when key, you said go in, you went in.
Most of the time, sometimes not.
Yeah,
there are some long days out there, but
one thing about Laura, Maxie, is Laura, like she mentioned, she likes bass fishing, but just not ordinary bass fishing. Laura wants to catch him on a topwater, not any other way, on a topwater.
Right.
And so when she was young, we had a heck of a time, but we stayed out there much longer because she wanted to catch one on topwater. And just this past summer, we have a cabin up there in the Woman Lake chain, and I said, let's go bass fishing. Yeah, I want to catch one on a topwater frog this time, a plastic frog. Well, and she did it. I think she caught three of them that afternoon.
I did. It's fantastic. There's nothing better than seeing a bass strike that lure on top water.
So, and Ron, did you do the hula hoop after you had him casting on there?
Did what?
Yeah.
Did he hula hoop himself? Is that why he had those hula hoops?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Laura, what about the hunting part of it? What do you remember about time in blind, time in deer stand with him?
You know, that I took a little bit longer to get involved in hunting, but it was, you know, my first experience was turkey hunting in the Black Hills of South Dakota, and there's no better place to start, and I was very lucky. My first morning out, on my first shot, I actually harvested a big wild turkey that morning, and my sister looked at me, and she was like, are you kidding? Because she knows the amount of times that you typically have to go out before you really have success, and I got very lucky. So after that, I got the bug a little bit, and really for me, I also love trap shooting and sporting clays, and you know, the more times that you can fire your gun at targets and things like that, I really enjoy that. But it was the turkey hunting in Black Hills of South Dakota that originally got me started. But I didn't get started hunting until much later I was still young, but not as young as what they normally are starting these days.
Laura, one of our more popular segments on Minnesota Bound these days is your wild and the cooking segments, the wild game cooking. Who introduced you to this wild game cooking? Was it Ron? Was it your mom?
No, it had to be somebody that got some first, somebody else.
You know, my mom was definitely the wild game chef in our house. I have to give credit to my dad. He does excellent walleye, and he grills things quite well. But my mom really got creative with her recipes, and I'm also just a fanatic about cooking myself. And I think because my mom was first of all, she was really good at it, but also she always was really into nutrition for our family growing up, and wild game obviously falls into that category nicely. And so I just got a passion for cooking. So I really watched what she did. And then, you know, it's important in our family to complete the circle of life, of course. And so when John Schumacher wasn't doing the segments anymore, I went to my dad and said, hey, I'd like to kind of let's make that come alive again and start doing some wild game cooking on the show. And it's been fantastic. It's really fun to learn from the chefs that we cook with and some unique recipes. It's been a great experience.
Ron and Laura, you can take this one because people know Laura. She's identified herself and branded herself on television and radio, etc. But Ron, it wouldn't be fair to not mention your daughter Simone because she too has a great love for the outdoors.
Well, she does. In fact, Simone has her own lab, a yellow lab named Ryder. She likes to hunt pheasants, and I think there's a little competition between the sisters, but I think Laura would concede the fact that Simone is a pretty crack shot on pheasants.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. My sister can beat me every time in the pheasant field.
And she also likes ducks. Now, I took her duck hunting when she was a young girl, and I had back in my newspaper days, I had a little file of columns Saturday afternoon, and so I left her there with my dog and her own shotgun, and we had one or two ducks yet to get. And so I left her and went to write, and suddenly I heard a couple shots go off, and pretty soon here she comes down the trail with the dog and a big smile on her face and the ducks. So
she had finished it off, huh?
She she's been hooked on duck hunting ever since.
Well, yeah, she probably shot her limit and your limit.
I run over my limit.
She didn't realize the real reason she was with. Go ahead, Travis.
I'm like Maxie. I save ammo. I hit him with the car.
Ron, you've had some time to reflect here over the past, you know, few weeks since this decision has been made, and probably since the show has aired. A lot of feedback has come in. A lot of people, a lot of comments. I'm sure you've read hundreds of them, if not thousands. Is there anything that really stands out to you that you've been able to just kind of take in your life in the outdoors and thinking about the lives you've touched and the stories you've shared about people and their passions?
Oh, it's a tough one. That's very gratifying to see all the responses, of course, because as I mentioned, you know, you're, most of the time you're just talking into that camera lens. You kind of forget that there are actually a lot of people behind that are watching. And so now when something like this comes along, that all comes forth. But, I'm not, you know, I hate the word retirement, so, but I'm going to, you know, it is what it is. One of the things that expedited this decision was Raven's advancing age. And we just didn't want to wait until suddenly we say, hey, Raven's no longer with us, and then Ron's not going to be with us anymore either. It just didn't seem like the right way to do it. So we decided to go out gracefully, so to speak, the dog and me. So, but I'm really okay with it. It was time to pass it on, and we've got a good staff there, and Travis, you're part of that. And we got great videographers, and the kind of show we always produced, I don't think there's any reason to not keep going. People like it. So we're storytellers about the great outdoors.
Laura, we're going to let you go, and we're going to keep Ron around for an extra segment as we do a little rendition of This Is Your Life, all right?
All right, that sounds good.
Thanks Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
Ron, you got to stay with us. Take a break. Come back. Live Outdoors at WCCO. Ron on hold, K. Travis.
Yep.
And when we come back, we'll work in another one of his colleagues, somebody that I know from way back in his life.
Yeah, he's an interesting man.
He's a
very interesting man.
And we'll leave it at that, okay?
Yes.
When we come back, This Is Your Life, Ron Shira. Stay with us in Live Outdoors. Got a couple of tiny dancers on the phone with me tonight. Ron Shira, the one-time crooner, working the bar circuit. Ron, are you ready for the next guest?
Yeah. I thought maybe you wanted me to sing a song or something. But
I didn't. No.
Oh, okay.
All right, next guest, give us a hint as to how you first met Ron Shira.
How did I meet Ron Shira?
Yeah.
In the hallowed newsrooms of Care 11 Television.
Oh, what's Care 11? I never heard of that.
Well, let me tell you what.
I guess I've never really had any reason to pay much attention to it when you're at the top of the stage, but go ahead.
I saw that man walk the hallways, the command he had, the ability to charm an audience. This is longtime producer, employee number one, Joe Horowitz.
Joe, thank you for joining us, man.
It's my pleasure. And Maxie, let me just say to everybody out there, what a pleasure to be a guest on the 50,000-watt mega acetylene rig, WCCO. My family back in Pittsburgh can pick up this thing.
Yes, they can. Joe, tell us about
Ron. What a pleasure.
Joe, were you an outdoorsman before you started working with Ron?
Zero chance of that. Absolutely not. Unequivocally. Ron did not hire me for my outdoor expertise or my skills in the woods.
Or his spelling.
Spelling is not overrated. Let me just make that clear. Having won the award, the Miss Spelling Award goes to producer Joe Horowitz again. Repeat winner. When I got the three-peat on the misspelling award at the annual holiday party, I knew it was time for more than spell check in the dictionary. It was time for a lobotomy.
Actually, let me tell you how I first met Joe Horowitz, okay? He was producer, creator, et cetera, of the Denny Green football show.
He rescued me from the sports world, Maxie. He did.
Yeah, and I was doing some Minnesota Bound shorties for Care 11, and one thing came to another, and I went upstairs to talk to the general manager, and I came downstairs with a show, 13-week contract. Now, I don't know how the word got down the stairs before I did, but that same day, the same day the Denny Green show was canceled, which meant that Mr. Joe Horowitz was out of work.
I barely
got down the steps when he came up and said, "Hey, I could be your producer. You get 60-hour work out of me, and you only have to pay me for 20." And you know what? He was telling the truth. He's a great talent, and I have to credit Joe because he took an old newspaper guy and kind of led him around the television world.
Yeah, that wasn't easy, obviously, Joe. What was it like the first?
Hold everything. It was easy because here's a guy with total command of the outdoor genre. He's telegenic. He is the ultimate guy you would want on a camping trip. Any great producer, and fellas, I got eight Emmys, regional and albeit, I got eight Emmys, could recognize the talent that Shara had. There it was, gift wrapped. All I had to do was work with this guy. Now, again, no outdoor skills, none at all. Kid from Pittsburgh. Our first story we shot, Ron, let me go down memory lane, jog your memory banks here. One of our first shows aired Valentine's Day. We go, let's be topical. Let's do a romance in the outdoors. What a great story. So you take the city kid north of Duluth for the first time, and I'm blown away.
I was going to say, you two probably had two very different ideas of what romance in the outdoors looked like.
Right. But, I mean, when you think about it, and we can watch the story later, it still holds up. The story still holds up 20-odd years later. Ron said, we'll talk to people out here in the woods about, I go, yeah, this will be great. He goes up north of, I believe, Gooseberry.
There's a Gooseberry State Park at Gooseberry Park.
So winter camping. They got the tent. Ron goes over, and, you know, I'm going to go in this tent and ask these people about, oh, yeah, you're going to walk up to a tent. He taps on the tent door. A couple unzip the tent. They go, hey, typical Minnesotans, it's Ron Sherry. And I think they invited you in for some dinty more hobo stew, gave you an interview.
Is that code for something or what?
No, it was okay. Like hobo stew, you know.
Go ahead, Joe.
Just saying that, I mean, those are kind of what, that's the welcoming presence you had. That's how people liked and admired you in this state. Like, you could tap on someone's tent while they're winter camping and actually
and doing who knows what, right?
We can tell you whether winter camping is even a sport, but that's
Joe, you're
story.
Forgetting. You're forgetting. I was doing a stand-up at the base of Gooseberry Falls, and across the river, unbeknownst to you or me, a couple was out there on an overlook kissing. Remember that?
I got the shot, buddy boy. I got panned left, followed focus, and I got the romantic, authentic, organic, really happened, not a staged shot at all. By the way, that's the thing about Ron. He's genuine, real, and authentic. And over the years, Ronnie, the road trips we've had, Alaska, Cuba, Africa, Finland, we floated the Amazon, Maxie, and a week it was buggy yet beautiful, native guides so precious that they literally carried a full stove on their back about 10 miles into the trail. Yeah, honestly, they did. They carried a stove on their back. But the outro on this story is the best. Remember this, Ron? Bring this dugout canoe. They drop us off after the great 10-day adventure of peacock bass, giant anacondas, huge bugs that would carry away a Buick. They drop us off at a little outpost, which was pretty much a hole in the jungle, where we were to wait for a truck to pick us up. After a few hours, we realized this probably isn't going to happen. We're not going to get picked up. We're in the middle of the jungle. Sunsets in a few hours. No one's coming to get us. Sheriff, being the resourceful guy, the ultimate guy you want on a trip, suggests we start walking. Well, he's walking with a backpack. I got a camera. I got a tripod, batteries. He was on trappings of a TV show, right? He flags down a truck with a pheasant farmer. We get in the back of the truck. We somehow break the language barrier, and we drive another 20 to 30 miles to some small town in Ecuador where the tradition that weekend was, the local tradition, you literally throw a bucket of water on a stranger. All over town, that's what people are doing, to throw buckets of water on strangers.
Do you remember this, Ron, or were you a couple shots into it?
So the guy says, stay with your stuff now because people will run out, jump in a vehicle if they see things of value and steal them and jump off and run away. So we sat on all of our expensive camper gear and back of the truck to protect it all.
Where did you stay that night?
Some flop house we found, I think. Yeah,
half a star, barely. So many combinations weren't great. We stayed in duck blinds. We've camped out in Alaska. We were so loud snoring in Alaska, not me personally, some of Ron's cohorts, at a neighboring tent. They had me 2 miles away, came down. Hey, could you guys keep the snoring down?
You didn't tell us that one, Ron.
I don't think it was me.
I could have taped an ad for one of the apnea machines at that point. That's how loud the snoring was. A neighboring camp, hey, guys, knock it down if you're not.
Hey, guys, I know you could probably tell stories for days, but there's one.
Travis Clark.
There's one iconic brand that Ron has carried with him, and that's the dog Raven. On your first show more than 23 years ago, I believe, Joe, are you responsible for Raven's bandana?
I take credit for that iconic creation. It was all necessity. Beautiful black lab. Beautiful. Great coat. Well-groomed. Well-trained. Just a magical dog. But just jet black on the chroma scale for a video camera. We had to pound the dog with light, and it still didn't stand out. So, you know, eight-time Emmy-winning producer, what do? You're resourceful. I saw a farmer's handkerchief, and, hey, Ron, let's put this bandana on. That'll get a little contrast. It'll break it up. We'll get a little more depth of field. Kaboom.
And the rest is history, Ron.
Let me correct the story a little bit.
am I in a situation where he's into this?
Joe says in some frustration, he says, that doesn't work. What do you mean it doesn't work? He says, the dog is a beautiful dog. It doesn't work. And he says, you have something bright and colorful you can put on your dog. And I say to myself, this Horowitz guy, he's from Pittsburgh. He thinks I dress up my hunting dogs, you know? And so I walked down the hallway, and there was a red farmer's handkerchief. I looked at it, and I said, well, maybe this will work. I put it on the dog, walked back out. Joe says, that's perfect. And little did he or I know, we created this icon, Raven, the star of the show.
With a red bandana.
All right, gentlemen, we could go on all night, but...
Maxie, I know you're wrapping it up. You got a break. You got an action-packed show. One last thing I want to tell the viewers. Sheriff, for all his greatness, is his writing. The man is a stone-cold killer writer. And I tell you, an expensive mouth story by Sheriff, I hearken out to you viewers, turn the picture down or close your eyes and listen to the words, the poetry, the way he segues, the way he gathers elements, the way he tells a story. That's it. Ron Sheriff. Flat out, I love you, brother. You're the best.
Thank you, Joe. Mike Max is trying to learn how I do it. That's what he's trying to do.
I tried all these years, and I never did pick it up, Joe. I tried, and I never did pick it up.
It's an iconic voice. When you hear it, you know instantly that's Ron.
You're talking about Joe Horowitz now.
That's Joe Horowitz.
I am funny even back here, Ron.
Well, I didn't know this is my life here. I mean,
yeah, well, we'll let you go because you still got to get that coveted first walleye before you can come back in studio. Thanks for joining. I didn't mean to surprise you, but I thought you'd enjoy, and it was Kelly that was the genesis of this. She's the creator of this, but give her credit.
All right, I'll do that. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Joe. Take a break, come back. Live Outdoors at WCCO. Welcome back. Sports to the Max News Radio, 830 WCCO, Live Outdoors. Ron Scherer, Joe Horowitz, Laura Scherer joining us. Travis Frank in studio with us. And I didn't want Ron to run up a big bill there. But we let him go, but we bring in Kevin Kirkvillet from Evinrude. And Ron's crappie contest is coming up on Saturday, Travis.
We've got a big crappie contest event. Kevin, thanks for joining us tonight. I know I'm like you, saying I wish we were talking about this 2 weeks ago when our event was supposed to be held, but it is going to happen, rain or shine. We're not going to talk snow on Lake Minnetonka this coming Saturday. Kevin, you're going to be out there joining us?
Yes, sir, I will. I was thinking we should have done it anyway and done some ice fishing, and then we could have had two lines in the water.
Ooh, no, we never thought about that. Yeah, it was kind of that ice. We were watching it day to day to day, and I kept going out daily and drilling holes through the ice and checking different areas. And I'm like, guys, I really believe we're looking at, you know, going out potentially the day before or, you know, even the day of or, you know, sometime that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is what my gut kept saying. And inevitably, most of the lake was open on Thursday and then Friday, 2 weeks ago, it went out just before the event. But it was the right move because, as you know, Kevin, there was no marker buoys out. There were no docks in the water. It would have been a little bit tough. And the fishing wouldn't have been great. And this weekend, it's going to be fantastic. I assure you, I've been out on Lake Minnetonka, and the crappies are biting. And what are we giving away to the winner, Kevin?
So the grand prize or the drawing grand prize is an Alumacraft with a 25-horse Evinrude on the back, and then another prize that we have is the 9.9 Evinrude portable engine as well.
I feel like every year we just add a few more incredible giveaways for people to come out there, and it's so simple. All they have to do is bring a crappie to the stage. Kevin, are you going to be fishing this year?
If Mike wants me to, I will, yeah.
You're going to have to fish for me, okay, because I'm going to be doing some coaching. I can't make it out, so I want you out there for me, but we will share the first prize together, okay?
Anything we can do to beat Ron, that's all.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So we'll share it, and I'll be out there. We can. You let me know if you win, and I'll come right over for a picture.
That'd be great, Mike.
You know, Kevin, you've been out there for several years now, as have I, and to me, it's just watching all these families and all these kids come up, and we just really get to, you know, enjoy and celebrate this love of the outdoors that we have. Is there anything that stands out to you about this event?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, it is all family, and then it's everybody supporting everybody else and, you know, clapping the kids when they come up with that 4-ounce crappie, and whether it's a pound crappie or whatever it is, these guys are out to have fun, and you've got the minnow races, and the little kids are just loving the minnow races. And then on top of that, having all of those prizes from all of our sponsors and making sure that the kids have, and everybody for that matter, has a great time.
And the beauty of it, too, last year, do you remember, I believe it was an 11-year-old or possibly a 12-year-old that won the boat motor trailer?
Exactly.
I mean, that's...
He went crazy on the stage. It was a good time.
It's great. I mean, so basically what happens, you buy a $5 ticket, you go out to Lake Minnetonka, you can start fishing at 6 a.m., the stage opens at 10 a.m., you bring a crappie in.
But 6 a.m. is when you can wear a line, huh?
Yeah, it starts at 6 a.m., and then it ends at 2 o'clock. So if you catch a crappie on Lake Minnetonka, you don't have to be in a boat, you can go on shore. And the beauty of Lake Minnetonka is there's so many channels, there's so many places on shore where you can go and catch these fish off of shore. You don't even have to go out on a boat. You bring the crappie in, you bring them to the stage, we weigh them, and you're now entered. And at 2 o'clock, we pick a random number. And if the first person that caught a crappie that lands on that number is the winner. And by the way, we have hundreds of other prizes that we give away to people coming up. And you see these kids and they hold these fish. And even, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. You come up on stage and everyone's watching and you caught this fish.
Don't I know that feeling when I won the contest. Yeah.
I mean, you're living in the glory. Look, 6 years later and you're still talking about that one crappie.
Was that long ago already?
I feel like it might be.
I retired after that day.
You know, and it was a great day to watch Maxie with the big smile on his face just because he outdid the sheriff.
Yeah, and that was the only reason. I mean, I didn't even care about winning overall, which was a great feeling by itself, but it was beating Ron that mattered.
Well, Kevin, you were the guide that day. How did you rig it so that Ron didn't catch anything? I mean, I know it's not hard to do, but did you...
He just gave him a pole and lined him bait.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things going on. Number one, you know, Mike and I went out and got that nice fish.
Yep.
Come back in.
Somebody even said you got that nice fish, but that's another story for another time.
Another time, you bet. And then the next year we took Ron out in a pontoon and I was paid under the table. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to say that.
No.
But there was a reason why Ron didn't get any fish that time.
Yeah.
Kevin, there's also once you get to Lord Fletcher's, you've got options. We've got Fishing for Life is the charity that we raise this money for. And they're going to be out there. They're cooking fish sandwiches. They've got some other options out there. And then you guys are giving boat rides. Is that right?
Yeah, we will have John Thielen, who is our pro staff for both Alumacraft and Evinrude, who is the host of Fishhead TV, will be bringing his own personal boat that he uses on TV so the folks can come and see how John fishes. And we will be giving rides out of his boat as well as a glass fishing boat that Mike knows well.
Yep.
And we'll use that one as well. And then I'm going to stage a boat, an Alumacraft Shadow. It's a black matte boat with a 150 G2 on it along the stage so the folks can see Alumacraft's newest version of their tournament series called the Shadow. And it is a great looking boat.
I always think when we're down at the shows in the winter, you know, the boat show, all this stuff happens in the winter. And when people, they come up and say, is it great or how does it ride? And I say, gosh, I wish I could just take you out on the water and give you a ride. You know, they look at buying a boat. But for somebody that might not even care about the crappie contest, they can still come down. They can go out and actually test drive some of these boats, right? I mean, you let them drive the boat, right?
We have them sign a waiver, and depending on the individual's experience and how they feel about driving a 300-horse E-Tech G2, we may or may not.
So Maxie doesn't qualify then.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Well, man.
Mike, all I need is a kayak and a cane pole, and I'll fish Ron today. And,
hey, and you could win a boat, Maxie. You could realistically win a boat.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter. Right?
It doesn't matter.
You, hey, Kevin, we got to let you go, but thank you for giving us some time, and have a great time on Saturday. Like I said, if you win it, let me know. I'll be right over to post for the picture.
You got it, Mike. Thank you, guys, and I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Kevin. See you Saturday.
Bye-bye.
Well,
you're going to be out fishing it, right?
I'll be there. I'll be up on stage, and I can't wait. And it's been fun this last few days looking back at a lot of what Ron has done. And he's proven that, you know what, and we have this saying at our office, a fad comes and goes, but stories last forever.
That's right. Great stories. What's the
great
difference?
Stories last forever.
Now, some
of
these are black and white, of course, from when he started. But
yeah.
But it's true. I mean, if you can tell great, look at 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
Right? All right. Thanks so much, Travis.
Thanks for having me. See you guys Saturday.
We come back.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.